Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Nun Bet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah we quoted in yesterday's daf and is familiar to us because of that, which is Mishiyatza Elech Be'ir Shemarvim Ba or Shemarvim La. So a person who is going to put out an Eruv, which enables him to reach a city that is close by to his city, assuming that there's about less than 4,000 Amot between his city and the other city, so if you set up an Eruv between them, then you'll be able to move from one city to the other. Then we have Zero Chaveiro, and his friend told him, don't go, stopped him. For whatever reason, he said, don't go to put out the Eruv, it's not a good time, it's hot out, it's cold out. You go later. Hu mutar lelech. He is still mutar to go. V'chol b'nei ha'ir asurim. But the remainder of the people in the city do not benefit from that and cannot go. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the statement of Rabbi Yehuda we saw in yesterday's daf. Then Rabbi Meir Omer, koshu yachola arev, v'lo yarev. Anybody who has the ability to make an eruv and then doesn't put the eruv down, or izech hamar gamal. Then he ends up being drawn or stuck between the two eruvin. There's the one eruv where he's trying to put it out. The other Eruv would be his house, where he is presently. And the only place that you'll be allowed to go is the overlap between those two Eruvin. As to why, the Gemara will discuss why Rabbi Meir thinks that in this situation, or why that's the case here. So, Maishna Ihu, Umashna Inhu. Same question that we asked yesterday, which is, what's the difference between him and the remainder of the city? Why is he allowed to use the Eruv, even though he never ever put it out? And why is the remainder of the city not allowed to use the Eruv, even though they didn't put it out? So Amar Rav Huna, Hachu Mayaskinan, Kigon Sheish Lo Shnei Batim. This individual has two houses. One house in the current city that he's in, and another house in the city that is less than 4,000 Amot away. Ubenehem Shnei Tchumei Shabbat. Between them is the two Tchumei Shabbat, which would be 4,000 Amot, but a little less than 4,000 Amot. Ihu, Kevin the Nofig Leilu Orcha Avalei Ani. He, since he got on the way, he left his house. He then gains the status of being a poor person. We discussed this yesterday, that being a poor person doesn't necessarily mean poor or rich. It has to do with your current situation, where you're found at that time. Someone who is on the road, someone who is traveling, is considered to be ani, because he is without provisions. He doesn't have a base. Whereas someone who's at home, even if they're poor, is still considered to be nashir, because he has provisions, he has a place to stay in. He has the status of an ani. Once he gets on the road, then he can gain the ability to have the eruv, even though he never went out there. Hane, the people who remain in the city, ashirin inhu, are ashirin because they have their house, they have their base, and they can't utilize this dispensation to put out an eruv, even though they never went out there. Yesterday's daf, we used that to prove that Rabbi Yehuda believes that when we say shvita diba makom ploni, a shvita is out at another location, that is true only for an ani, not for an ashir. The ability to use or to say that my eruv is somewhere else, even though I never got there, can only be done by an ani, not an ashir. And that's what we said about this statement yesterday. And the same thing is true, obviously, today, but we have to determine now why it works over here. What did he do? We never heard him say anything. The Mishnah never says he said anything. So why does he gain an eruv, even though he didn't do anything or say anything? So Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a brayta that supports that understanding. Person has two houses, one in this city, one in the next city. Once he gets on the way, kana eruv. He automatically gets his eruv. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Yeter al gain amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says even more than that. Afilu matzo chavero. If his friend finds him, amar lin po. Says, you know what? Don't go. Stay over by me right now. Eit chamahu, eit sinahu. It's a little too hot out there now to go. It's a little too cold to go. The next morning he can go as if he put out the eruv, even though he never made it there. So now we have to understand the positions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. And again, how that relates to the whole Mishnah. The problem we have in the Mishnah, which has to be addressed, is this individual started on his way to go put out the eruv. Had he said, shvita tiba makom ploni, then we wouldn't have had so much of an issue because he would be in a knee, he was on the way, and he was saying that I have my shvita at this place that I knew. This makom mitsuyam that I knew somewhere else, I want my eruv to be there. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir from the previous Mishnah would agree that that works. So that would have been fine. The problem here is he didn't say that, and he didn't say anything at all. So he didn't say anything, why is his eruv working? And that's what we need to explain now. That is subject to a machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, as well as the Rishonim. Rashi here brings down two different explanations of this Gemara, and then you have Tosafot bringing a third explanation of the Gemara, which is Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Lomar Hulei Alma Lo Pligei De Tzarech. Rava says to have it be said, everybody agrees. Ki Pligei Lachzik. Their machloket is simply about whether you have to get on the road or not. Rav Yosef Amar Lachzik Dukulhem Lo Pligei De Tzarech. Everybody agrees you got to get on the road. Ki Pligei Lomar. Their machloket is about speaking. So in the first interpretation, Rashi says that the Lomar here does not refer to the individual putting out the Eruv, but rather the person stopping him on his way out. So Rashi says, Lomar is linpo, that you want to stay there, that his friend told him that you should stay here, that he cuts him off on his way out to put out the Eruv, he cuts him off. So according to Rabba says, Lomar kuliyama lo pligei de tzarich. Rabba says the only way that your Eruv works is that if someone actively stopped you, that they said to you, don't go out, stay here. If they cut you off in that way, then it works. But if they didn't say anything and you simply come back on your own volition, you stop traveling on your own volition, then we assume nimlach, that he changed his mind and he no longer wants to go out. And if he changed his mind, then obviously he didn't put out an Eruv. So it's only if you're cut off where it makes a difference. Then ki pligei. The pligei here is referring to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Where machloket it about is whether you have to be machzik baderech or not. Did you have to actually start on the way? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to have started on your way. You have to have gone out, started your path, started your trek. And then if someone says to you, stop, it's not a good time, it's hot, it's cold, they cut you off. Then we say, anan sade. It's as if we know he wants to go put the Eruv there. We know he has a house in the other city. We know his intent was to put out an Eruv, so we make it as if he said that, that he wanted to put the Eruv there, and it's as if done. It's as good as done, even though he never said anything. That's the way Rabba learns. Then on call comes Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and says, Yeter Alkein, even more than that, not only if he's machzik baderech, but even lo machzik baderech, even if he never gets on the way, even if he never gets out of his house and the guy cuts him off, that's good enough, because he intended to go and someone else cut him off, that's fine. That's the machloket according to Rabba between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, im hechzik baderech, aval pish lo amar lo, because Rabbi Yosef says everybody agrees you have to have started on the way. You have to left the house in order to be classified as an ani. So that's what he says. Kuli amalo plige, that the hechzik tzarich, that he has to get out of the house. The question is, amar lo, did he have to say something to him? Did his friend have to say something to him? According to Rabbi Yehuda, his friend did not have to say anything to him, that even if he on his own volition turned back or stopped, were anansade that he wanted to go out, and it's good enough for an Eruv. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says you need both. You need chazaka and amira. You have to be on the road, and you need him to cut you off, you need him to speak to you. So what ends up happening in this case is that Rabba's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef's explanation of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda are similar, which is that they both require you to have started on your path and to have been cut off by the other individual. So according to Rabba, that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. You must have started your trek, plus you have to have the other guy cut you off. According to Rabbi Yosef, that's the position of Rabbi Yosef be Rabbi Yehuda. That's the way Rashi brings us the first explanation of this machloka between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. He rejects it. He says, I have a number of reasons. One of them especially is this Yeter Alkein. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yeter Alkein, even more so. If you say even more so, it sounds like he's being more makil or saying something even more than Rabbi Yehuda. The way that Rabbi Yosef is explaining Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to just have gotten on the way. Doesn't matter if someone pulls you back or not. And then Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you need both. Well, need both is lahu chumra, is not lakula. And so Yeter Alkein doesn't really fit that lashon.
According to
Rabbi Yosef, right, Yeter Alkein is problematic. Right, according to Rabbo, Yeter Alkein will work, it is lakula. According to Rabbi Yosef, it turns out to be the chumra. For that reason, Rashi says he doesn't love this pshat. Even though he heard it, he doesn't love it. Then he brings a lishna achrina and he says, v'lo shemativ. I never heard this. Which means that he didn't have necessarily a misora for it, but he feels like this is a better explanation of the Gemara. And he says, Amar Rabba, lumar shvitati betochat chum, kuli ama lo pligei de tzarech, zeh achuzer lumar kein. That the person has to speak up. Lumar here is that I have to say that Shvitati is over there. Chi palig Rabbi Yosef, ata lekuli achazaka palig. He argues on the chazaka part. The shame the Rabbi Yehuda, damar hechzik. He heard Rabbi Yehuda saying that the guy got on the road. Vatayu lemeimar, afilu matzoh chaviro. So the Omar here is exactly what we were looking for, the missing piece of the Mishnah, which is that he says, Shvitati b'makom ploni. Does Shvitati b'makom ploni work? Well, what do you mean? Does it work? Of course it works. Rabbi Yehuda says it works. Rabbi Meir says it works in the previous Mishnah. The difference over here is that Rabbi Yehuda says that the only time it works is if he gets on the road. He gets on the road, and then somebody cuts him off. If he says Shvitati b'makom ploni, it works, because then he's classified as an ani. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, even if you never left the house, even if you never left because you intended to leave and somebody cut you off, if you say Shvitati b'makom ploni, it works. It's as if you're an ani, even though you never left your house. And we said before, in your house, you're considered to be ashir. But because you had intent to leave the house, and you wanted to get on the road, if you say Shvitati b'makom ploni, you're classified as an ani, and it works. So that's the way that Rabbo explains the Gemara according to Rashi. I'll explain to you what the issue is with the second interpretation in a second. Then Rav Yosef says, Lachzik lo plige. Yosef says, come on, in order to be an ani, you gotta be on the road. There is no way that you're an ani until you get on the road. So that's Rav Yosef's standard, that both Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda agree that you have to be on the road. So then what's their machloket? Ki plige lomar. They argue about whether you have to say something. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to say Shvitati b'makom ploni. So again, Rabbi Yehuda believes you need both. You need to have been on the road and Shvitati b'makom ploni. That's according to Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Both of them agree that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need both issues. You need to have been on the road. And number two is you have to say Shvitati l'sham. And then Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, even if you said nothing, like it belongs to what Tzvi is saying, that as long as you're on the road, even if you said nothing, you're kone Shvita, because we know you have a house in the other city. We know that you're trying to leave to put out an eruv. So then we have an anansade. It's almost evidence of the fact that you want to say Shvitati b'makom ploni, because you got on the road, you have a house over there, and someone cut you off, so that's the reason that you pulled back. Well, you didn't say Shvitati b'makom ploni, but it's as if you said it. Now the problem with this is, what about Rabbi Meir? We said before that Rabbi Meir argues on Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. But we know from the previous Mishnah that Rabbi Meir seems to indicate that if you say Shvitati b'makom ploni, it works. And over here, according to the way we're explaining it now, according to Rabba, for instance, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Shvitati b'makom ploni, and hechzik baderech, and he gets an eruv. And Rabbi Meir's arguing and say it doesn't work. Why would Rabbi Meir ever say that it doesn't work in that case? Rabbi Meir agreed in the previous mission that an ani, if you're hechzik baderech, you're an ani, and Shvitati b'makom ploni should work. So what you have to say now, and this is the difficulty with the second Mishnah of Rashi's chat here, is that Shvitati b'makom ploni, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's enough shehichzik baderach to be called an ani. If you're on your way, you're called an ani. Rabbi Meir's standard is going to be higher. Rabbi Meir is going to say that you're still classified as an ashir when you get on the way. You're only an ani when you're really out there. When you've really left to the point where you're not coming back, then you're an ani. That's when you say Shvitati b'makom ploni works. But over here, when his friend cuts him off and brings him home, you're still considered to be an ashir. You haven't crossed that threshold to be an ani, even though you got on the way and you started traveling. That's not enough to call an ani, because we see, you came back home. And when you came back home, that classifies you as an ashir. So that's what you're going to have to explain, or how you're going to have to explain Rabbi Meir's position. That's the second way to explain this. There's actually a third way to explain this, and that's the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, you can see it's in the Tosfot, the second Tosafot on the page here, Perish Rabbeinu Tam, Lomar. The lomar, or what's being said here, is et chamahu ve'et sinahu. It depends on how you were pulled back. The person who stopped you, how did he stop you? So lomar means that he stopped you with a reason. He said it was hot out, it was cold out. So kevin shekzu mitam ze imkein kevin dedato lelech kishetavur chamah ve'tzinah v'lo yotzeh mitoratani. The fact that he gave a reason to pull you back means that you're just waiting for that exogenous variable to pass. You're waiting for the heat to pass, you're waiting for the coolness to pass, and then you're going to go. So you never lose your status as ani because he pulled you back for a reason. Aval in below time, if zero, if he pulled you back, just says, you know what, just sleep over, come on, you know, don't go now. But it doesn't give that. Imkein the gamrei nitiyesh melech v'yatzah mitorat ani, afu pishe yachzik baderech. So according to Rabba, what does it mean, lomar? Lomar means you have to have a reason that you were pulled back, because that makes us feel that then you will reverse that and continue on your trip. Otherwise, if he just pulls it back without any reason, we assume your trip has been terminated. Because he pulled you back, he didn't give you any reason, why should we assume that you're going to continue on the trip? So because of that, the lomar is important here. So according to Rabba, the only time it'll work is if you pulled back for a reason. Then the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda is that you have to have started on your way. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to have gotten on the way. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says even if you're in a house and he stops you for a reason, that's enough. And it works. Rav Yosef will be the other way around. Rav Yosef says the only thing that is important is that you got on the way, that you got on the derech. What? Rav Yosef says, Kemen shemachmat chamav etzinah huzer im kinitayesh legamre melech. Lo kanai ruv, the Rav Yehuda, elokashukhozer below tam. Rav Yosef believes just the opposite array, that if you got on the way, and then the guy pulls you back because of heat and cold, then that's it, you've given up. Because he's pulling you back for a reason. And that reason is enough to stop you and change your mind. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, wait a minute, if he's calling you back for a reason, then you're okay. Because if he called you back for a reason, then you're going to overcome that. On the other hand, if he doesn't give you a reason and you just come back, then we say you're just delaying, you're tarrying, procrastinating, but you're going to go. It's just that you came back for a little bit. And Rabbi Yehuda would agree in that case that if you stopped on your own volition, that it would work. So that's the third explanation of this Gemara, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Right, you have multiple explanations of the Gemara. It's going to be, you have to fit it into the remaining pieces of the Gemara here, but you have three pieces or three ways to explain it. So now, the Gemara asks, Kaman, Azlo, Hadamar, Ula. According to whom is Ula making such a statement? Mishich Zikbaderech, someone who got on the way. Vech Ziro Chaveiro, and his friend interceded and brought him back. Harehu Mukzar Umukzak. He's both pulled back and mukzak. Now mukzar means that he lost his ability to be on the road. He's stuck here. His eruv is where he's currently. Mukzak would mean that his eruv is in the other place. And that's what Gemara asks right now. I mukzar, lama mukzak. If he comes back, meaning that he's from his eruv is really in his house, then why does he get his eruv out there? Vi mukzak, if his eruv is out where he intended it to be, lama mukzar, then why is he trapped by his house? So halki gamar. This is what the statement of Ula meant. Even though he came back, it's as if he went. It's as if he made that trek out to put the Eruv down. To put out, exactly. He gains the Eruv.
Not the original one.
No, the Eruv he plans, not where he's living, but where he plans to put the Eruv out. Now it is a good Eruv. So now, come on. Who is that like? Who is the author of such a position? So Gemara says, Kerav Yosef ve'aliba de Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yosef in the explanation of Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda. Now, according to the second explanation of Rashi, that would be Rabbi Yosef believed to Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda is very easy because he was machzik baderech. Rabbi Yosef mar lachazik to kulei amalo pligi. He got on the road. He pligi lomar. Whether you said shvita tibim akomploni. Here he didn't say shvita tibim akomploni. So it worked because he got on the road, but he didn't say anything. So according to the second explanation of Rashi, this is very easy to understand why it's Rabbi Yosef alibit Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Because you have one thing, which is you got on the road. You didn't say anything. Whereas according to the first Lashon in Rashi, the explanation here is that he got on the road, because that's what we saw, Echzik Baderech. Also, you have to have a mir, which is Linopo, that the guy who interjected stopped him. He actively stopped him. He got in there and says, stay with me. And that was what the Lomar was. Right, Echziro Chaveiro, which means that he said something to him and pulled him back. Now, according to Rashi, if you remember in the first Lashon, I said to you that two of them turn out to be the same thing, which is, that the Gemara here says it's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because over there you need both. You have to be machzik baderech, and you have to have your friend stop you. But that was true according to Rabba in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabba and Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing. You have to say something. I mean, Lino Po has to be interjected. Your friend has to stop you. Plus, you have to be machzik baderech. So if you put those two together, that's end up what Rashi ends up saying over here. Rashi ends up saying over here that, according to the Lishna Kama, the Gemara could have just as easily said, this was Rabba Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, El Dechad Minayu Nakat. It said one of the two. So you could have said, this is Rabba Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yosef Aliba de Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and the Gemara just brought one of the two. That's not such a strong way to explain it, and that's why I think Rashi had more problems with that first Lashon, because the Gemara should have said that. The Gemara only gives one example. It works well for his second Lashon. And as David pointed out here, this is much more difficult for Tosafot, because Tosafot said the whole chap here is whether he told you why he was calling you back. You see the last Tosafot on the Yomud, Kaman Da'azla Hadamarula, Afalpi Shemugzar Mugzak Kaman Ka Rabbi Yosef Aliv Rabbi Yosef, Melashon Afalpi, Dayek Dechazar Machmat Chama Vetzina. He says, well, from the word Afalpi, it means that he gave him a reason to come back, which was that he had told him about that it was hot, it was cold. Lo Kana Eruv, the Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, he wasn't calling an Eruv.
Perish achron de Rashi nira the ikar.
Because of this difficulty in explaining, as David, you pointed out, the difficulty explaining this Gemara now, then he wants to go back to Rashi and use the second Lashon in Rashi. Right now the Gemara continues with the story. Rav Yehuda bar Ishtato, Aitilei Kalgula de Peri, the Rav Natan bar Ushaya. So Rav Yehuda bar Ishtato took a basket full of fruits, and he went to Rav Natan bar Ushaya. Now, it's unclear from the story, but based on the conclusion of the story, it seems like he brought the basket of fruits as a gift to him, but then he planned on continuing on to put out an eruv for himself. Then, ki avo azil, shavke, adenochi darga, he stopped over at Natan bar Ushaya's house, and then on his way down from the ladder, he was upstairs, he took the ladder down, and their day, that's how you got up and down from the upper floors, he took the ladder down. So he waited for Rav Yehuda bar Ishtato to begin his descent, to begin leaving, and then Amarle bayit hocha. And then he says to them, stay over, sleep over. L'machar kadam vazil. The next morning he gets up and leaves. So Mar again wants to know, come on, who is this like? Who is he holding like to do this? It was Machzik Bader, because he let him start going down the stairs. And then he said to him, Linpo, stay here overnight. So who is this? For Rabbi Yosef, Aliba de Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Let's assume this is Rabbi Yosef, Aliba de Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So again, according to the second Lashon in Rashi, this is easy. He was Machzik Baderech, and then he said to him, Linupo, stay over. But he himself didn't say anything. He didn't say, Shvitativu Makom Ploni. So that's Rabbi Yosef, Aliba de Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. He was Machzik Baderech, but he never said, Shvitativu Makom Ploni. So that works. According to Rabbi Yosef, believe it or Rabbi Yosef, you never have to say Shvitativu Makom Ploni. You simply have to get on the way. So that's Rashi, the second Lashon. According to Rashi, in the first Lashon, you'll have the same thing again, which is, this is Rabbi Yosef, believe it or Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, which is, number one, he was Machzik Baderech. And number two was, he said, Linu Po. He cut him off. So that's the Rabbi Yosef, believe it or Rabbi Yosef, Yehuda. Then the Gemara answers, lo. It's not true. Kirabba, believe it or Rabbi Yehuda. This is really Rabba Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And again, it could have been Rabba Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Because referring to Rashi in the first Lashon, both of them say the same thing, which is, you have to have been Machzik Baderech, and someone else has to cut you off. And that's what happened over here. You got on the way, and then he cut you off. According to the second Lashon in Rashi, Mishani, then Rashi adds in what the Gemara is missing, which here, is the Amara Skinan. It's a case where he said something. So according to the second Lashon in Rashi, that means he said, Shvitativu Makom Ploni. That he stopped him after he came down the stairs, and he was said, Shvitativu Makom Ploni, and it works. That is, according to the second Lashon of Rashi, that's Rabba Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabba Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, because he was Machzik Baderech, and he said, Shvitativu Makom Ploni. Now, truthfully, that could also be Rabbi Yosef, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. In the second Lashon of Rashi, Rabbi Yosef says, he was Machzik Baderech, but he didn't say anything. So it's the case here is, you can't say that is Rabbi Yosef. According to Rabbi Yehuda says that Shvitativu Makom Ploni, that would have worked. So it actually would have been the same thing. He could have said,
you can't see what Rashi says. I only brought one down. You want to specify?
Oh, so very good. So Rashi has to answer that problem, because that's what his problem with the first Lashon is. Now he's saying the Lashon Achroni has the same problem. The Gemara says it's Rabba Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, but it could also have been Rabbi Yosef Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, because he said Shvitativu Makom Ploni. So he says, I'll tell you why the Gemara did Rabba in particular, because when it comes to Machloket, Rabba v'Rabbi Yosef, halocha ke Rabba. So as opposed to the previous time where the Gemara brought the example of Rabbi Yosef out of the two, that I can't make sense out of. If you have to bring down the two, either bring the two, or if you opt to bring only one, bring Rabba's position down. Because Machloket Rabba v'Rabbi Yosef, halocha is ke Rabba. So better to bring the position of Rabba, who the halacha is like, than to bring the position of Rav Yosef.
What did they do last?
So that's why Rashi rejects the first Lashon, because they should have brought Rabba instead of Rav Yosef. Over here, you can explain it that they brought Rabba instead of Rav Yosef, because halacha ki Rabba. Right. It's very difficult to tchiyah, because the Gemara never gives you the tchiyah. The Gemara says, lo, this is Rabba, I'll leave it to Rav Yehuda. But what happened? What did the Gemara change here? So Rashi makes an assumption. He says, Umishani de Amar Askinan. He says, no, this is a case where they said Amar, that he did say something. So because of that, it changes the dynamic of the Gemara. But that's very difficult, because the Gemara never says that. So that's why you have other Rishonim who take out this whole rejection over here, and they just leave it out. So now Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Sheyachol Arev, anybody could have made an Eruv. And didn't put at the Eruv, he's a Kamar Gamal. Gemara says, Hatanina Chadazimna. We already learned this before, which is Safek. In a case where a person is a Safek, for instance, a case where his Eruv rolled out of the Tchum. We're not sure if it rolled out before it was Benesh Mashod or after it was Benesh Mashod. It was a case where his Eruv was eaten. We're not sure if it was eaten before Benesh Mashod or after Benesh Mashod. Those cases of Safek, the Mishnah said before that that is a chamar gamal. It's a fake. Rabbi Meir vi Rabbi Yehuda omrim. Over there, Rabbi Meir and both Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ari ze chamar gamal." So why do I need you to tell me over here again that he's a chamar gamal in this case? Here you have a safek of eruv. You have a safek whether the eruv that he was intending to put out is his eruv or that he has his eruv in his house. So I'm left with the case of safek. So in case of safek, we know that the psak halacha is chamar gamal. Rabbi Meir already told us that in a previous mishnah. So why do I need you to tell me this again? Right, by getting on the road, we're not sure if he really, when he got on the road, it meant that he's given up his house and his real Eruv is the one that he's putting out, or because he returned home, real Eruv is at home and not the one that he's intending to put out. So that's what Rabbi Meir calls the Safek. Right, you're very good. So that's got to be, the explanation is that this is not such a simple case of Safek. That's Amar Rav Sheshi, lo tema, time with Rabbi Meir, Safek Erev, Safek lo Erev, hu davi chamar gamal. The only time you're a chamar gamal is where it's a fake, whether erave, safek lo erave. The questions that we had before, the spekot that we had before, were the case whether we're not sure if he put down the eruv or not. And we're not sure if it was inside the tchum when Shabbat came in or outside the tchum. We're not sure if it was eaten or not eaten. Over there, the safek is, was there an eruv or was there not an eruv? So then you're a chamar gamal. Vavadei lo erave, lo avi chamar gamal. In a case where he for certain didn't make an eruv, then he wouldn't be a chamar gamal. Ela filu vadai lo yirev. In a case where we know for sure he didn't put out an eruv, havi chamar gamal. He's still chamar gamal. Daha hocha. Vadai lo yirev. Over here, he certainly didn't put out an eruv. Havi chamar gamal. He never put out an eruv, and he's considered to be a chamar gamal. So what does that mean, that vadai lo yirev? Again, Rashi has two explanations of that, but it means that he didn't put out the eruv. So the way we explained it up front was that here you have a safek. The first thing is, we had a safek in the other case, whether there was an eruv or not, but did it roll out of the tchum or not, was it eaten or not? That's a safek. Was there an eruv, or was there not an eruv? Over here, the safek of lo erev is that we don't know what he did. We don't know if he intended to put his eruv out. We don't know if he intended to come home. So according to one Lashon Rashi, he did nothing. He didn't put out an eruv where he was intending. He came home, so he actually did nothing. He didn't put out an eruv there. He didn't. Nevertheless, Rabbi Meir thinks that he's a chamar gamal.
What's the habit?
First Lashon in Rashi is exactly what you're saying here, is lo tema. Don't say that he is vadai, a part of his house here, because he returned home. And since he returned home, that's all that he wants. He's changed his mind, he's done with the whole process, and he's at home now. So the only eruv has is his house. That, Rabbi Meir says, is not the case. Don't say that. Even in the case shelo yirev, that he never put out the eruv in the place that he intended outside the city, don't say that he's automatically a part of his house, and that's the only eruv you have. That's the way that you're both explaining, because he did nothing. He never went out.
So don't say
that when you didn't put out the eruv, it's as if you only have one eruv, which is your house. The answer is no. But since you got on the road, and you went to put out the eruv, we give an anan sadeh, because you have a house in the other city. For whatever reason, we assume that that other eruv was a good eruv, and now you have two eruvin. Don't say that you're just from your house. Now say that you're stuck because you, as if you put out the eruv. That's one way to learn it. That's the way you guys are both proposing to learn it over here. Rashi brings a second lashon, which is Rabbi Meir considers the person to be an ashir over here when he gets on the road. And nevertheless, he is chamar gamal and not like b'nei yiro. Tzilek atzmo b'kavanato b'alpayim shel tzad sheni b'shnei beito. So that because he pulled himself out of his house as if he lost the 2,000 amot on the other side. And because of that, he pulled himself away from his house, and he never put anything down. Nevertheless, according to Rabbi Meir, that's considered to be someone who's stuck in the middle, but as if he has two eruvin. So this is a very interesting thing, because he didn't pull himself out of not having an eruv at all. He pulled himself out of having the 2,000 amot from his other side of his house. He started on the way. But starting on the way, his intent is to lose the 2,000 amot from the other side of his house. And also, when he goes back to his house, he's given up the 2,000 amot past his eruv. And so that's the intent. That's what we're saying here. Even though he never put out an eruv, even though he left his house and he came back, he never put out any eruv. In the end, it is as if he basically put out the eruv in his house because he came back. But because he left earlier, he gave up the 2,000 amot to the other side of his house. What do you mean? What is he supposed to do? Oh, he took an Eruv with him with his intent to put out an Eruv. That, he has a house in another place. Wait, there's an Anan Sadeh here. This is not a simple case where you take a trip on Friday afternoon and say, oh, I have to say Shemitah. No. There's a whole background to what he's doing over here. So because of that, it's as if he was misalik himself in the 2,000 Amot on the other side of his house. Not because he has two Eruv in here. The other Eruv doesn't count. The other Eruv that he never put out never worked. So why does he lose the 2,000 Amot? Because he left to go put out the Eruv. It's as if he said, you know what? I don't want those 2,000 Amot on the other side of my house. Then when he returned home, he never reacquired them because he never said, Shvitati bim komi. Since he never reacquired them, the Eruv that he makes in his house is only like a half Eruv. It's an Eruv to one side, not to the other side. So that's the other one shown in Rashi. Alright, next Mishnah. Person who leaves the tchum, even one amah cannot come back in. You're stuck. Four amot and you're stuck where you are. Rabbi Lezer Omer, shtayim yikanes, shalosh lo yikanes. This is Rabbi Lezer we saw earlier in the Gemara. Rabbi Lezer says you get dalet amot, v'hu b'emtzan, and you're in the middle of them. So that the two amot give you the overlapping tchumim. Since your dalet amot now overlap or touch, in this case, the original tchum, you're allowed to return. Beyond that, you're not allowed to return. This goes back to what we saw back of Daf Mem Chet as to whether a person has dalet amot or eight amot. That's number one. And number two is, where are you within those dalet amot or eight amot? Can you decide which side they're on? Are you automatically in the middle of those items? So Rabbi Lezer, we know, says that you have four amot and you're in the middle of them. So if you're in the middle of them, two amot will bring you back to the tchum. Beyond two amot will not bring you back to the tchum. Right? Rabbi Huda is the shita that says that you can pick which side it's on. And Rabbi Meir says you get eight amot. So that's a third, fourth shita. Those shitot are not mentioned here in the Mishnah. Right? Amar Rabbi Chanina. Raglo achat betoch ha-tchum, raglo achat chutz ha-tchum. Is 1 foot over the boundary, 1 foot inside the boundary, lo yikanes. He's stuck. Dichtiv. Im teshiv mi shabbat raglecha. So now, raglecha is in plural. Feet, that would be both of your legs lift. But nevertheless, raglecha ketiv. Now it's raglecha, which is the plural. But raglecha is the ketiv, because there's no yud in there. So raglecha is the ketiv, 1 foot. So even in 1 foot over, you're stuck. V'tatan, you don't have a brighta, the other way around. Raglo achad betoch ha-tchum, raglo achad chutz ha-tchum, yikanes, you can come back. Ha-mani achirim, he. That's yachirim. V'tan, yachirim omrim, l'makom shrubohu, either here it's nizkar or nizdaker. You're allowed to throw yourself. Wherever the majority of your body is, that's where you're drawn after. The assumption being here, when he took the 1 foot out, that's all that went out, is his 1 foot. The remainder of his body or the majority of his weight is still inside the tchum, and therefore he can pull himself back into the tchum. There's something to say, I'm Rabbi Chanina. He is allowed to come in. That we read it in the plural. So the Kri is plural. So both feet have to be out in order for you to lose tchum, not 1 foot. What about, we have a bright that says you may not return and come back in. This lashon, he's saying like the achirim, which is, Titania, makom shubohu niskar nizdaker. To the place where the majority of his body is, there he's allowed to return. Because here he only simply had 1 foot outside, he can pull the remainder himself back in. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, shtayim yikanesh, shalosh lo yikanesh. Va'atanyo. We have a brayta that says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achat yikanesh, shtayim lo yikanesh. If he's one out, he can come in. Two out, he can't come in. The Gemara says, lokasha. You have to know what one and two means. Ha dakar chada v'kama tarte. When it says, achat yikanesh, means that he's no longer within the first amah. He was in the first amah, but he moved to the second amah. Then he's allowed to return. And then the case where it says, shtayim lo yikanes, is the case where he moved from two into three. So in that case, he can't come back in. We have another problem, which is, even one amah, you can't come back in. That's talking about a person that is measuring. Now, measuring, it's not clear who's measuring and who the measurer is. It's not. Ulumodei shamro notim lo apayim mama afilu sopin yeto kalab b'mara. According to the one who's measuring, wherever those 2,000 amot end up, that's all he gets, and no more. The modeit over here is, according to Rashi, shechashchalo v'amar shvitati bimkomi. Got dark, and he says, my shvita is here. That person gets 2,000 amot, or 2,000 middle-sized strides. He walks 2,000 middle-sized strides, and wherever that ends, that's where his tchum ends. Even if his tchum ends in the middle of the city, even if his tchum ends up in the middle of a marah or middle of a house, that's the end of his tchum. He gets his 2,000 amot, and that's all he gets, because he said, shvitati bimkomi. He took his shvita in his place, and therefore, that's all he gets. He gets nothing more than that. So that's why, in that case, he can't even go an amah more. He gets 2,000 amot exactly, no matter where it ends, and he can't go anymore. Mishnah. Mishech shich chutz l'tchum. Afilo ama achat lo yikanes. Someone who was outside the tchum of the city, even when ama, can't come back in. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilo chamesh esrei ama yikanes. Even if he's 15 amot out of the city, he can come back in. She'ena meshuchot mamtzin et midot mipnei atoim. Because those that are measuring it, they always pull in the tchum in order to give people who make the mistakes a chance to come back inside the tchum. Tana mipnei toei mida. What does it mean, the toim? The toim are the toei mida, those that make a mistake. So Rashi says two lushonot over here. Afil chamesh esrei ama lav davka ted vav ama. Rashi says not exactly 15 amot, but that the moderate tchumim la'irayot osim siman l'tol chatchum. They don't go at the end of 2,000 amot. They pull it in a little bit because they don't want people to make a mistake. And when they pass it, to say, oh my gosh, I just passed it, now I'm stuck. So they give you a little bit extra. So there Rashi says, lav davka 15 amot. Then Rashi wins the second lashon and says 15 amot davka. How does he get 15 amot davka? If you remember, what was the size of the string they used to measure the tchum? 50 amot. The string was 50 amot. For 2,000 amot, how many times do you put it out? 40. Takes 40 times to put it out for 2,000 amot. When you hold it, there are two people holding the string. Each person's holding it with their hand. A hand includes a tefach plus a little more. That's what Rashi says. Your hand holds a tefach plus a little extra, half an etzba on top of that when you hold it. So you have to, now you have 40 times that is 40 tefachim plus 40 times half an etzba is 20 etzbaot times 2 for the two people. 80 tefachim plus 40 etzbaot. 4 etzbaot make up a tefach. So another 10 tefachim is 90 tefachim. 90 tefachim divided by 6 is 15 amot. So that's how Rashi gets the 15 amot. He says that they don't pull the string taut so that their hand, when they're holding it, the string's hanging over in their hand. That extra piece is the amount that you have at the end. Those are the 15 amot dafka that you have extra that you can go out beyond the tchum and still be considered within the tchum because they demarcated early in order to protect those people that make a mistake. Right, so either that's beyond the 15 or they don't subscribe to the position in this Mishnah, which is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's position, we don't necessarily subscribe to that in the previous Mishnah. So according to one Lashon Rashi, 15 is lav dafka, which just means that they give you extra space. According to the second Lashon, it's dafka, and he calculates it based on the 40 times he used the string with two people, each at a hand, that is, tefach plus a chatzi etzba, that gets you to 90 tefachim, which is the 15 amot in excess. Okay, we'll stop over here.